Okay, my turn.
Iron, right?
Okay. So he's staying over now from the Zohar in the end of
Number are we on?
80, in the middle to end of 80. Hine ha'odon, he brings a piece of the Zohar and he says, Hine ha'odon ha'yachid yisbarach shem alufi shlemus ha'i'ef shalachanus l'shum shem v'kinoi v'she'in anu masigim shlemus ha'i'ef shalachanus ma'she'in masigim ki Hashem hu geder ba'al Hashem ma'she'in yoidim yidiyah shlema i'ef shaligdar oisai. So you can never fully be magdir, give what's magdir?
Define.
Define a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the midas that we have, the name of the midas that we have, defining Hashem, is not really defining him at all. It's just defining certain activities that he does. What we do see is certain activities, rachmanos, mercy, memshala, dominion, koach, power, mishpat, justice, chemla, pity, kas, anger, toikev, strength, everything we see in Hashem is only the act describing actions that he does. It's only a description of the midah of the actions that he does. Because Hashem allows them to see it that way. And because we see activity which seems to use that type of midah, we call him a rachamon. Not that he, let's put it like this. Philosophically speaking, somebody that is a rachamon, someone that is a merciful person, when he reacts to something, is it because the thing he's reacting to demands mercy? Or is it because he happens to be a merciful guy and therefore he responds with mercy? But it's not because that's what is needed to respond to that situation. It's just that's his natural tendency, so he's going to respond that way, right? So it turns out then that what guides that person's activities is there's a pre, what's like a pre
disposition.
Yeah, predisposition towards that reaction, right? So what's guiding that decision is not his seichel, but rather his character.
But not coming something coming out of that situation that's
right.
Stimulus.
So when we would say Hashem is a rachamon, if we say Hashem is merciful, it would almost indicate that sometimes he reacts based on a predisposition to mercy.
To Hashem.
Yeah, and that would be wrong. That is not true. So it's not that Hashem is a merciful, it's that Hashem acts with mercy sometimes. But since we notice that he acts with mercy, we call him merciful, but he's not really merciful. Rachman, Moishel, Amit, Shoifet, Chayitza, B'zeh. V'hine, Ava, B'yishu, Yizbarach, B'shle, Musay, who built the Baal Gvul, V'shir, Klal. Even though Hashem has no boundaries, obviously. Aval, Eila, Amid, Shoratza, B'hem. But the character traits that he chose for himself, Hine, Ratza, B'hem, B'gvul, V'shir, Shoratza. He wanted to express them up to a certain degree. So if Hashem only says, one time Matisyahu Solomon said that he says, why do we say Kirachim of Albanim? Hashem, have mercy on us the way a father has mercy on his child. Maybe we should say Kirachim Eim Albanim. It's the way that a mother has mercy on her child. That's a greater level than the father, no?
I would think so.
So why don't we say Hashem, have mercy on us like the mother, not like the father? So he said, Hashem doesn't want to have mercy on us like the mother, because the mother's mercy sometimes doesn't make any sense. She's not doing necessarily for the benefit of the child at that point. It's because she can't hack it. She can't bear to see her child suffering, but not necessarily that it's best for the child's interest. So we don't we want is the balance of Kerachim of Halban. That's what So the so what's he saying? So let's say there's a certain gvul that Hashem made, that his rachmanus will extend only to the rachmanus of Av Albanim, not to the rachmanus of Em Albanim. But that's all only because Hashem made that that's the proper rachmanus to display. Kol zeh tali b'ratzon yisbarach, Moshe b'yanu v'shuhu adon l'shanus. He could change it technically. V'adrama, b'shleimusay ein lan l'sharash shum shir klal. In the shleimus, there is no distinction between midos. There's no midos in the shleimus. Because in the shleimus, there's no description. Everything's exact. It's only, right? So again, the concept is again saying the same thing. In shleimus, there's achdus. In the lower levels, which is the Hester, and the way we see it, then that's where it splinters into multiple things. So when we're saying again, so when we're saying that Hashem is a Rachman, don't think it means he himself is a Rachman. It doesn't mean the same thing that it means when you're saying a person is a Rachman. By the way, there's two copies over there if you're interested. Okay. We're not trying to describe Hashem's. I'll find the thing. We're not trying to describe Hashem's actions in and of themselves, or Hashem's not actions. Hashem's
Page 194.
Okay. So we're not trying in this paragraph. Yeah. We're not trying to describe Hashem in and of himself. This has been explained many times. We said this in Nefesh HaChayim many times, and this is a very fundamental concept. Vital. Now he's going to plug all this in into the guf and the neshama. Unbelievable. The guf is split up into different parts, and each part has a very specific task. The neshama is one. Shleimus concept. Chutz mikol inyani ha'gof lagamri. It has no shaykhs to the gof. V'chol d'rachea ha'im d'rochim ha'cheirim. Shoyni medarki ha'gof b'chol mikol. It functions in a different wavelength. Afil b'inyani ha'argeishim atzma. Aval afi she'hi ha'oise. Kol ma'ise ha'gof. B'yoisa b'soicha. But since the neshama is really the engine behind the gof, hi ha'shemas b'ozne ha'gof. What, when you hear, what's hearing? Your neshama. It's just hearing it through your ears. He haroya be'enegof. What sees? Your neshama. But it's using the eyes. Whoa. He just said an unbelievable concept. He's saying that just like when we say, Hashem, you are a Rachamon, Is Hashem a Rachamon? No. But he's acting in the world in a way which appears as Rachmonos. So therefore, since that's the Hanhaga, we use that to describe he himself. Right? So he says, really that's what's going on every time you experience something with your five senses. Really what happened is you interacted. The five senses are five different ways to interact with something. I know this is here because I can feel it, I can smell it, I can touch it. See, smell, hear, touch, and
taste.
So there's a way that I'm made interact with it. Really, really, really what's going on is something else completely. Your neshama is becoming aware of this thing, the way it becomes aware of stuff. And we're just describing the way which it seems to the naked eye that it made it aware. So it became aware through Re'iyah. But it's not a Roya. It's just the neshama understands things. It's not a Shemeya. The neshama just is aware of things. But since the Guf uses the power of Shmia to bring those things into the neshama, or the ayin, so we call it the same way. So he's saying the whole interaction of this world, using the Guf as the interactor between the Shama and the world, is the same way as Hashem using his Midos to interact between him and the world. But it's really not
so the,
a real description of what's going on.
So the mashal is, so basically our senses, the way we experience the world is similar to the way to the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Yeah. Right.
That's more comparable.
So this is another way where the neshama and guf relationship is similar to the relationship of Hashem in the world. Besides that, the neshama is the ikar, but you can't see it. And what's goli is goli, and that's the guf. This is another deeper point, which is pretty incredible. Shmuel, what is this rate on the list?
I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it.
He said you're not going to fully understand what I'm saying. So that's it's, don't expect to get much further. No, because he's basically saying that really what's going on is something that while you're in a guf, you can't really fully grasp. That there's a concept of becoming aware of something without the senses. Just the neshama knows it, because it knows it.
But the input mechanism is the senses.
Correct. Correct.
And now, say the part of the how Hashem takes is the midos of Hashem. And that's how he interacts with the world.
Because really, Hashem's interactions with the world are not based on midos. It's not that he's using Rachmanos or he's using Hashem interacts with the world. Of really, what's going on is Hashem's interacting with the world in the way that he feels is needed for that particular interaction. Nothing to do with any particular midah. But we describe it as, oh, he's using Rachmanos now. He's using this to, and then all of a sudden it goes further and we say, oh, Hashem is a Rahman. No, Hashem is not a Rahman. He's not even using Rahmanas. He's just interacting with the world in a way that we perceive it as Rahmanas. And therefore we describe it as Rahmanas, but that's not really what's going on.
Hashem doesn't correspond to the senses.
I mean, that's the thing. Really what's going on is that your neshama is becoming aware of its surroundings. It happens to be that the way it's becoming aware of it is in a physical manifestation of seeing. So we call it that the neshama saw, but it didn't really see. The neshama becomes aware of its surroundings because it's there.
They always describe these near-death experiences where the neshama comes out and is able to see and